and there'd been none of this marrying relatives business. The months in Djeli Baby already seemed like a dream, one of those circular dreams that you never quite seem able to shake off, and which make insomnia an attractive prospect. Whereas here was a future, unrolling in front of him like a carpet. What a chap needed at a time like this was a sign, some sort of book of instructions. The trouble with life was that you didn't get a chance to practice before doing it for real. You only...
God grief! It's Tepic, isn't it?
The voice was addressing him from ankle height. A head appeared over the stone of the jetty, quickly followed by its body. An extremely richly dressed body, one on which no expense had been spared in the way of gems, furs, silks and laces, provided that all of them, every single one, was black. It was Chidda.
"What's it doing now?" said Pataclusp.
His son poked his head cautiously over the ruins of a pillar and watched Hat, the vulture-headed god.
It's sniffing around," he said. "I think it likes the statue. Honestly, Dad, why did you have to go and buy a thing like that?"
"It was in a job lot," said Pataclusp. "Anyway, I thought it would be a popular line."
"With who?"
"Well, he likes it."
Pataclusp 2B risked another squint at the angular monstrosity that was still hopping around the ruins.
"Tell him he can have it if he goes away," he suggested. "Tell him he can have it at cost."
Pataclusp winced. "At a discount," he said. "A special cut rate for our supernatural customers."
He stared up at the sky. From their hiding place in the ruins of the construction camp, with the Great Pyramid still humming like a powerhouse behind them, they'd had an excellent view of the arrival of the gods. At first he'd viewed them with a certain amount of equanimity. Gods would be good customers. They always wanted temples and statues. He could deal directly, cut out the middleman. And then it had occurred to him that a god, when he was unhappy about the product, as it might be, maybe the plasterwork wasn't exactly as per spec, or perhaps a corner of the temple was a bit low on account of unexpected quicksand, a god didn't just come around demanding in a loud voice to see the manager. No. A god knew exactly where you were and got to the point. Also, gods were notoriously bad payers. So were humans, of course, but they didn't actually expect you to die before they settled the account. His gaze turned to his other son, a painted silhouette against the statue, his mouth a frozen O of astonishment, and Pataclusp reached a decision.
"I've just about had it with pyramids," he said. "Remind me, lad. If we ever get out of here, no more pyramids. We've got set in our ways. Time to branch out, I reckon."
That's what I've been telling you for ages, Dad," said 2B. "I've told you a couple of decent aqueducts will make a tremendous..."
Yes, I remember," said Pataclusp. "Yes, aqueducts. All those arches and things. Fine, only I can't remember where you said you have to put the coffin in."
"Dad!"
"Don't mind me, lad. I think I'm going mad. I couldn't have seen a mummy and two men over there, carrying sledgehammers."
It was indeed Chidda. And Chidda had a boat. Tepic knew that further along the coast, the Serif of Al-Kali lived in the fabulous palace of the Roxy, which was said to have been built in one night by a genie and was famed in myth and legend for its splendour. It was therefore colloquially known as the Djinn Palace. The unnamed was the Roxy afloat, but more so. Its designer had a gilt complex and had tried every trick with gold paint, curly pillars and expensive drapes to make it look less like a ship and more like a boudoir that had collided with a highly suspicious type of theatre. In fact, you needed an assassin's eye for hidden detail to notice how innocently the gaudiness concealed the sleekness of the hull and the fact that even when you added the cabin space and the holds together, that there still seemed to be a lot of capacity unaccounted for. The water around what Petracci called the pointed end was strangely rippled, but it would be totally ridiculous to suspect such an obvious merchantman of having a concealed ramming spike underwater, or that a mere 5 minutes' work with an axe would turn this wallowing Alcazar into something that could run away from nearly everything else afloat and make the few that could catch up seriously regret it.
"Very impressive," said Tepic. "It's all show, really," said Chidda.
"Yes, I can see that.
I mean, we're poor traders."
Tepic nodded. "The usual phrase is poor but honest traders," he said.
Chidder smiled a merchant's smile.